Why has the data not been shared?
No, they didn't isolate the virus. That's the issue.
No, they didn't isolate the virus. That's the issue.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Saturday, January 30th, 2021. Some important stuff that happened today. Some very important things that I actually had only two main points that I was going to start today. That's why it ended up being late, because I kept adding these things in, as so often happens. But some very important stuff on a lot of fronts. We have an important discussion around lockdowns, which you'll find, I'm about to explain it right now before we get to it. It's an important part about lockdowns, a vote that was held that basically finds that lockdowns were a mistake. We're going to talk about masks and showing even more so that the information around it is very, very clear, but more so following up on something we showed in the past, as well as some new information coming out that will shock you, but also showing that they're now essentially mandating masks anywhere in the public, on federal grounds, as well as public transport, and even in the UK beginning to say, well, we should just mandate them in the open spaces as well. It's all coming this way. Remember, the only people I saw arguing that this wasn't going to happen, or the other way around, the people that were arguing, basically everybody in the mainstream was coming out and saying, that'll never happen. There's no way they'll mandate face masks or force this or make you do that. And we're seeing all of them in real time right now. None of those people, by the way, are coming back and going, oh, looks like we were incorrect. Our mistake. Nope, there's another reason, another equivocation coming your way. But we're also going to start off today with an important discussion of the PCR test. And this is a really interesting one. Actually, what's funny is the title I used today is one of, maybe not even the most important part in that discussion, but I just found it shocking to find out that many of these tests, the first of which being created and approved by the CDC in February, it's interesting. So how often they seem to be tied in with the profit side of what's going on. But the fact that many of these tests today are being sent out, set to a level, basically cycle threshold over 40, which we'll get into what that means if you haven't heard it before, it doesn't mean that they can't be changed or adjusted, but it's basically showing you that this whole mechanism was set out, this construct designed essentially to create the situation we have now. Almost it appears to basically drive it in a direction that would eventually later taper it down, which is exactly what a lot of people are thinking. Suddenly now everything's getting better. All the cases are going away. What do you know? But oh, you're still in danger though. Vaccine, but it's all getting better. You know, this is the kind of thing that we're seeing right after they make a statement in regard to the cycle threshold. Now, I'm going to go over again in this part about the WHO, because the mainstream did one of these quick little, oh, these dumb conspiracy theorists. They didn't even read the document. They didn't even talk about lowering the threshold, and then dismissed it entirely. But it's very clear that they did go over two main points, one of which is that they need to start sending their cycle threshold to authorities. That's interesting, showing you that they are aware that there's an issue, but then also discussing how they need to reevaluate the cycle threshold in regard to false positives. That's exactly what we've been talking about. But we're going to show you today even more so is that this is exactly what was, in my opinion, meant to happen. Since Fauci made this comment months and months ago, and we all know it, and it's all been here, and it's just been ignored by the people that are supposed to be keeping you safe. But to start off, of course, I have a couple things I want to get into, as is the custom, in regard to the GameStop, Biden's administration, the Capitol, the way, the direction, where all this is going. But to first start off is with an issue that from the last show. Now, it's funny because this is essentially the same filler that I could have used in place, and this is very, very real. The issue is that there was a headline that was discussed in the last show that was about white supremacists and GameStop, and it was from CNN, but it turns out it wasn't actually from CNN. It was sent to me by somebody that I trusted, and I thought to myself they probably looked into, but this is all quick in your mind, and I made a mistake, which we all can. The point is that it was a tangential point. It was something that I was making in reference to just a casual thing, and this makes this even better, and I moved on. If that was the point of the show, the focal point of the show was whether this was a true article, you guys know damn well, based on my past efforts and what I do every day, that it would have been researched extensively. every which way impossible. The point was making this point, as you can see, Haaretz.com saying, what is going on with GameStop and why did it unleash an anti-Semitic storm, is the same fill-in tangential concept that I could have used instead of the other false article headline. The point is, we all make mistakes. I should have done my due diligence. I should have made sure, and I would have if it was an important point inside of something on the side. But as always, it's about you doing your due diligence, because we all can make mistakes. And maybe not always some little side thing that didn't really make a point, that make a difference to the point, but sometimes something large. But nonetheless, the point is that we all need that. What makes a difference is how you deal with it, how you follow up, how I come back and say, I made a mistake. That was my mistake, regardless of who sent it to me and what I thought. It was my fault for not doing my due diligence. You will never hear me say that about something that is important in regard to the main point of the larger subject. You won't. If you do hear anything like that, it'll be me saying, well, this is the information I had, and it turns out to be incorrect. I will never say something that I have not vetted in the sense of something that I find to be much more important. Now, you can take that as an equivocation of its own right, but I want people to understand everybody can make a mistake. And the mainstream media is constantly, incessantly, regularly lying and manipulating and then also making mistakes too. The reason I'm making a point about this is because there's people everywhere. I'm getting emails, some of them nice, some of them saying, oh, you're a fake because of this one accidental mistake that you did. It's just ridiculous how people are today. Hopefully you're here because you're smart enough to do your own due diligence. But here, again, to reiterate, is still the same point. So even though that article was not correct, here's my point again, and it's the same because it wasn't as important to the main point. What is going on with GameStop and why did it unleash an anti-Semitic storm? An anti-Semitic storm? You're now making this concept out to be something that is racist? This is the epitome of stupidity in regard to this narrative. It's unbelievable. And that's what the same thing I was saying about the CNN article, just blending everything together. And it all comes back to the same concept they're driving home. A populist uprising from MAGA, Trump, white supremacist, linked to Al-Qaeda, linked to Iran, linked to communism, all of it. It all ties back in with their narrative, none of which is really verified or justified in any sense. It's quite incredible. But oh, I actually just threw this in because I figured I would just read what I said here, probably much more eloquent. This person, and this is, I appreciate this. This is what I appreciate, the kind of people we have in this audience. This person reached out and just said very cordially, this is a question. This is what people are saying. What I find interesting is I think it was very intentional as we're all of a sudden having every outlet everywhere, anywhere coming out and saying, that's fake story. I feel like it was intentional. In any case, simply saying, can you please follow up and clarify? I love that. Appreciate that, because this is what it's all about. Not coming out and going, you're an idiot, but just saying, look, let's discuss this. And I'm happy to. Absolutely, I saw that today. I will address it today. I was sent to me by someone I trusted, and I made the mistake of assuming they had vetted it. It does not change the fact that I should have double-checked, as I always say. We all make mistakes, which is all the more reason for you to do your due diligence. That being said, this article was only a side point, one that remains the same regardless of the headline, which is basically the only time this happens. Doesn't mean I should be okay with it. If that was the main point, as you all well know, I would have done far more than confirm its legitimacy. Had it been anything but a tangential point, I would have gone over every inch of it. My shows make that very clear. But we can all be better every single day. And that goes for me as well. But here is, on that same article discussion point, Google salvaged Robinhood's one-star rating by deleting nearly 100,000 negative reviews. Just if coming off of our discussion yesterday, I'm not going to really rehash the whole thing in regard to the GameStop discussion. I find this to be much, much bigger than what went down with that one, the multiple stocks and different things being, I don't even want to say manipulated, because I mean, it's essentially the right word, but that makes it sound like what they did was wrong. They're doing exactly what these people do in the hedge funds and people involved in the stock market that are, you know, big timers. They manipulate this thing as every way they can. That's what, in fact, what they were trying to do. And I'll have a clip I'll play in a second for you to understand this even better. I guess I actually do have a couple things about it. But this is incredible, because what you're seeing is Google stepping in and playing their part, showing you how this and everything, whether it's finance, COVID-19, foreign policy, they're all working together against you. That's what this is. And this has been, I find this GameStop thing to be more exposing than damn near everything else we're talking about. It shouldn't be. There's so much in COVID that should expose the whole world. But this thing got to people. It makes me happy because they're seeing the cracks. But so Google steps in and says, oh, we're just going to delete the negative reviews because they must be fake, because this is a populist MAGA thing or whatever, without any due diligence. And you're going to pretend like every single one of them was somehow, I don't know, malicious. But what's the, how are you starting? Basically, what this means is Google is now deciding intent. You shouldn't be able to say, Google shouldn't be able to look at your comment and be like, oh, I think they meant to do this for the wrong reason. Delete those. That's crazy. That's just basically them cultivating and curating the way they want this to look. And that's the point. Because they should get those negative reviews because we all see what they are. Google too. But they're scared right now. Well, I should also counterbalance this with the idea that there's some people arguing that this is definitely some sort of a psyop in its own right. This was set up in order to create the situation for them to further crack down on exchanges and any number of things that you're seeing in this process. I'm seeing it more so in cryptocurrency exchanges right now than anything. And that definitely, I feel that. I've been talking about that all day and yesterday. All of a sudden, everything's clamping down. VPNs don't work anywhere. Everyone's asking you to sign in. Everything is getting more, they're pulling in the reins a little bit on all of their control mechanisms. And I think this might have been the catalyst. Whether they made it happen or not, well, that's as always up for you to decide. But as Immortal Technique, if you don't know Immortal Technique, I ask why. I've been a huge fan of his music since long before I got into this. But he's saying, so you want a timeout, as the image says, NASDAQ CEO suggests a halt to trading to allow big investors to recalibrate their positions to combat Reddit users. Right? It's just so funny, right? The point, so we need to timeout, pause, so we can recalibrate because they're doing better than us right now. It's just, this is just so broken. Like, they cannot abide us playing a role in what they do. At all. In the exact same way that they do it. No one broke any rules here. Now, just to make another quick side point to the beginning, hypothetically speaking, had this right here, this image been fake image or manufactured, it still wouldn't change the point that I was making, right? That's the same thing. That's the idea. Nonetheless, it's always important to check to make sure they're correct. But going forward, this is all over the place. I saw Lou Kradowski had a great video today. Oh, you know what? Thinking of that. Let me write that down really quickly. I need to make sure I grab his video so I can include it in here because a lot of these things I pulled from his video. This is from Glenn Greenwald, one of the most revealing 40-second video clips you'll ever watch. Now, this is somebody, this is the former SEC commissioner, basically comparing what happened here in regard to normal trading, but basically them losing, which is what normally happens to the little guy, to what happened on the Capitol. And this is exactly my point. There's nothing at all that ties these things together except the fact that they don't like that both of them show that they don't have the support of people. Maybe all, maybe most, maybe some, who knows, but they don't like it being exposed that they are being, that they're the criminals, that people don't support them. I think it's most people. But even more than that, it shows you, especially in regard to this, the GameStop thing, that they're corrupt. They're breaking the system. They broke the system for their own benefit.
It really puts a lot of question about the integrity of the market, right? And it really...
The integrity of the market, right. That's what a lot of people like us are saying. Yes, because the market has always been like this, and it's just because they use it to their advantage. And now that we're... I shouldn't say it like that, but now that some people, not in the elitist circles, are beginning to do it too, now it's a problem. It wasn't a problem before, but now it is because other people, other than them, have begun to recognize the levers that can be pulled.
Kind of everybody's scratching their heads over this. What should happen? What is the right thing to do?
The right thing to do is recognize that you were outplayed and move forward, right? Just because you lost, and we're talking about lost in regard to financial windfalls and losses, right? This is just because they played it better and they lost. They want to change something. Understand how crazy that is. This is like somebody saying, it's my ball, I'm going home. You don't get to play anymore because you didn't do what I said to do.
To control this or stop this, not unlike what we saw on January 6th at the Capitol, right? If you don't have the police in there at the right time, things go a little crazy.
Or, you know, if you tell them all to leave at the right time, then it will get crazy too. You know, maybe that's exactly what happened here. But the point is, what she's arguing, basically arguing is, you know, virtually, however you want to take the analogy, she's saying there should be more enforcement. Right? So there should have been people ready to say, nope, your trade's not allowed because we know what you are. And then it becomes exactly like everything else. It already is the point.
And that's kind of feels like what's happening with this, much different, much lesser degree. It's financial harm, not personal bodily harm. But certainly that's the same kind of platform created frenzy.
Like, so here's the funny thing is, because it happened on Reddit, now they're talking about all these little seedy platforms. And by the way, recognize that places like that are made into more so what they say they are because they've deleted people and driven them into these corners. But nonetheless, if people gather on any other, you know, say an elitist level communication platform and decide to talk about what they're going to do and then do it, that's the same thing. But because they're not the lonely populist MAGA, whatever they're trying to paint it as, well, it's just different, right? That's what, understand the message. You're not part of their club. You don't get to play this game.
That people are operating under. And these are very trying times.
Definitely very trying times. Just interesting the way that she, the terminology and everything. Now, Glenn Greenwald points out also, if you want, now this is actually just the thread to Reddit, the chat room or whatever you want to call it these days. I used to use Reddit quite a lot in the back in the day, but I haven't for a while, a long time now. But if you want to know how these Redditors think, he says, what motivates them, etc. And especially if you intend to opine on this, don't rely on others to tell you. Very important. Not myself, not anybody. Especially in the media. Take some time to get to read it for yourself. Dive into it. Understand it. Look at it for yourself. Best advice in something like this, then you'll... I mean, it doesn't mean you should take what they're saying at face value either. But the point, the moral, do it for yourself. Now, this is a really interesting clip that I want you to listen to. Now, I did my best to explain this yesterday. I'm not a Wall Street guy, but this stuff is actually not that complicated. But he says it very... succinctly. Listen to what he's saying and I really understand. I'll pause and insert some points as we go. It's not long. It's only 2 minutes, but he makes some great points here that I want to share. And this is, as it says, shorting stock explained in 2 minutes.
You heard a lot about gain. Hey, good morning, everybody. So if you're waking up this morning, you heard a lot about GameStop. It's kind of all the rage today. And I don't know that GameStop has been as popular since they sold Ken Griffey Jr. baseball on the original Super Nintendo for less than $5. Okay, maybe I'm aging myself, but the reason they're so popular today is they're involved in what's called a short squeeze, and it's got a lot of people wondering what that is. So I'm going to try to explain it just as quickly as possible. So within the stock market and in investors' world, there are analysts, and these analysts are constantly evaluating the value of stock. And if they see that a stock is undervalued, they'll buy it, right? And they'll buy it and wait for it to go up, and then they'll sell it and they'll make a profit. Shorting a stock is when an analyst looks at a stock and says it's overvalued. So it's actually priced higher than it's probably worth. So what they will do is they will actually borrow the stock. They won't buy it. They'll borrow it with the agreement that they will pay for it at a later date. And that date is set. So what happens in a short for an investor to make money, and a lot of hedge fund companies do this, is they'll borrow the stock, let's say at $20, wait for it to drop to 10, hope that by the time they have to buy that stock, it's at 10, and then they get to make the difference. Now, here's what happened with...
Now, the part that's left out right there that I'm sure he would at least cross his mind is that we all must know that at some level, there are people that make bets like that and then take real-world action to make sure that they meet their goal. Now, if we think that doesn't happen, we are being incredibly naive. I'm talking about people, I don't even necessarily mean like the literal hedge fund manager. What I'm talking about is people that are placing these bets with knowledge about something or no influence over the direction of something. And then they do so. Whether you could just use GameStop as an example, like, right, let's say these people make this massive bet, billions of dollars on the line. Then what they do is they drive other actions, they manipulate other things, they make other statements with the intention of seeding this idea around, and it starts and people pick it up and more short it and it goes down, right? Now, there's a level of this that's legal and there's a level that's very murky and there's a level that's plainly illegal. But right here, what we're staring at is kind of in the middle. And at the end of the day, what happened was these people stepped in and on Reddit said, hey, everybody buy $1 of GameStop. And all of a sudden it shot up and they screwed them and they got screwed. Right? So the point is that the people out there are used to being able to manipulate it to their benefit. And that is something that happens on a daily basis. And they don't like that average people stepped in and screwed up what they knew was going to happen because they're criminals, cheaters, manipulators. Not everybody. But I argue the people that are so upset right now are because they had a sure bet with making $70 billion, however many millions of dollars of the game stock, and these average people stepped in and screwed it up. No illegal actions, just playing their game better than them. Or at least they weren't aware that these people were even playing. Let me go back just a little bit so you don't lose what he was saying and listen to the second part.
When companies do this, is they'll borrow the stock, let's say at $20, wait for it to drop to 10, hope that by the time they have to buy that stock, it's at 10, and then they get to make the difference. Here's what happened with GameStop, though. So a lot of hedge funds borrowed or shorted the stock, a lot of stock, expecting GameStop to go down.
Meaning that they knew something, right? Look, there are definitely analysts that can look at this stuff. Now, why in the world would you think suddenly that GameStop was going to dramatically drop? I mean, of all things in the middle of what's going on, you would think that video game sales would be pretty safe. Right. So my point being that I would argue that there was something happening here. There are people that were playing games that were planning to make this happen. So they wanted this to fail, which is ultimately what they're doing. They're betting on this to fail, which, by the way, in a real world sense, translates into people's lives, lost money, lost jobs. They don't care about any of that. What's the other side translate to? More jobs, more, except the money coming out of the pockets of the hedge funders. So which one do you care more about? But in any sense, it's not always that simple. But listen to what he's continuing. We'll finish the last part of this.
...or shorted the stock, a lot of stock, expecting GameStop to go down in share value because it was overpriced, or at least they thought. So a bunch of people got together off of Reddit and some of these other social media sites and said, let's buy GameStop. So they bought GameStop, and GameStop went up. It was at 40-something dollars last week. It's over $350 now. So here's what happened. Those people that were betting on GameStop to fail and then sell it and make money off of their short, well, guess what? Now they got to go buy that stock at over $350 a share.
Hoorah. That's the best thing I've heard all day, right? I love that. That makes me smile. We're talking about a situation where these people thought they had it locked. We're going to manipulate these people's lives and their business and their money, and we're going to bet on them to fail, and we're going to manipulate the market to make sure that they do, and then Reddit stepped in. I mean, and what? You think about millions of people on this sub. If every one of them buys a $1, that's nothing to these people, but it's everything to the market, and that's the point. We are realizing the power of the collective, guys, the power of the masses. Collective might be a wrong word in the sense of where things seem to be going. I mean, like the average people. The power of, if we actually see beyond the two-party illusion and recognize that it's they're fighting us, not one side or the other. It is the class war that's always been happening, and this is what people are beginning to see. Now imagine if we took this logic and applied it to politics. All of the people can, I mean, that's what this is. That's the lie about politics, is they're supposed to be doing what we want. That's not what's happening. Same with any of this. So I love this. It makes me happy to see. Especially since there's not any crimes. And even more so since they're attacking them nonetheless. Selling people's holdings. I mean, which we talked about yesterday. I mean, hundreds of thousands of dollars being sold without your opinion, without your say-so, because they've deemed your actions to be unjust because you lost money for the big players? Like, what if you had nothing to do with what happened on Reddit, but you just bought in at the right time? They stole your money anyway. It's rigged, guys, like everything else.
That stock at over $350 a share. It's costing them potentially billions of dollars. So that's what's going on today. That's what shorting a stock is. Short squeezing is when you pay back those short guys for shorting it by inflating the price, by driving it up. And it's going to cost big hedge fund companies billions. And there you go. That's what's going on today in the market. See?
Love it. I mean, it's, you know, and that's important. I just thought this was a really well-explained clip, right? He really does a good job of just making it really quick and succinct. And it's just, I hope we see more of stuff like this, and they're going to push back. But I definitely see this, as I said in the beginning, used. It's being used right now to push into other spheres, cryptocurrency being one of them. But we already saw, like, Dogecoin was increasing a bunch, right? I mean, I even have a little bit of that, and I was trying to move it, and you wouldn't let me, right? They're clearly locking this stuff down. It's quite incredible. But as Immortal Technique points out as well, speaking of shorting stock, did they ever find out who shorted those airline stocks just before 9/11? Just asking. You Wall Street Fs are worried about GameStop, but there are deeper questions that get brought up, right? This is the point. It matters now in regard to the short squeeze, but of course we never care about something like this when it applies to the people in the powerful positions, right? You get some smaller people on Reddit that make, you know, maybe a couple hundred dollars, maybe a couple thousand dollars, maybe some of them made a lot, but that matters more to them than people making money off of the largest terrorist attack on this country in its history. that they claim is somebody else, but we all clearly see. Now, thinking about the stocks being shorted and sold and making money from 9/11, sort of like they knew it was coming. Well, remember when senators got coronavirus benefits before the public and sold off millions of dollars in stock before the crash last year and faced zero consequences and no regulation? Yeah, we all do too. And that was both left and right, because guess what, guys? They're on the same side. Then Reddit made one stock into a meme, and they're talking about restructuring the whole damn market. Can we not see what's happening? I mean, for crying, it's the moment that we catch on to the game, they need to change the rules. It is not, you could not matter less to these people. And this is, think about how insulting it is to argue the concept of something like trickle-down economics again. Yeah, let's make sure these people make all the money, and it'll eventually trickle down to us. They actually sold America on that for a really long time. Benefit the rich and everybody will get better. Clearly not. But it's just another variation of their manipulation today. It'll continue unless we do something. As I also reported, Nancy Pelosi, remember, bought $1 million in stock options. Tesla, days before Joe Biden announces government vehicles will all be electric. What do you know? That is elite. I mean, that's called insider. Well, I mean, technically, yeah, I mean, I guess that would be insider trading. I mean, that is illegal in any sense. That's also called a gross conflict of interest. Doesn't matter. Nobody cares about that, right? But some Redditors make money off stocks and the world collapses. Meanwhile, you're not allowed to buy stock on GameStop or AMC on Robinhood. Now, we're also remember, on Robinhood specifically, we just talked about the fact that, it was Citadel. Citadel actually re-established all these short positions and then locked everybody out. Like they are making sure they air for the big players, because that is their business. Not you, not a couple, not some people on Reddit. They don't care how much money you just made. It's about making sure the big players use their services. And as Walker points out, the American myth tells us wealth is created by hard work and wise investments in companies with good long-term prospects. Reddit has exposed that lie beautifully. Wealth is created by gambling on insiderism. Our system is not designed to benefit regular people. I just saw another meme the other day talking about stock markets and saying, yeah, you know, bring your money in this very safe, secure stock market so you can make money for us, right? It's not, you may get lucky. And I know people that recently just did and just kind of, you know, get lucky on something they heard or make money. But at the end of the day, this thing is designed to benefit people that have the inside information, period. And we're seeing that now. Now, to wrap up the first part here, Disclose also points out, India is now planning to introduce a law to ban all private cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and put in place a framework for, quote, an official digital currency, which clearly brings us into the idea of where the Greater Reset and COVID-19 is creating, but also see how this comes off the edge of what we just talked about. They are using this all around the world already to crack down on the idea of what would be the right, the alternative methods of, I don't know, everything really, but this is in regard to finance. They don't want you to be able to operate outside their system. We all have seen that. Of course, this is a digital currency that they'll use, but it's issued by the central bank. Of course, according to the legislative agenda listed by the government, according to Reuters, that is where it's going. And this is where, in the United States, we are seeing it built up from there. Ultimately, this is what is being set up from the moment it starts going forward. We can only imagine where this will be months down the line. I mean, this is at a time where they're doing things like we just saw with finance or with COVID-19, grossly violating your rights, violating everything that's sacred. Anything we hold sacred in this country has been thrown out the window, and they did it. They set this up for that exact reason.
The Supreme Court, Maryland Avenue, 2nd Street, Northeast, and we are approaching the Russell Senate building area. Hey, do you know why they moved you guys outside the fence? No idea. This is
in Washington. They're all moved outside the fence now, right? This is all based on the same concept of threat that wasn't really a threat. And they're ultimately continuing to build this up. Like we said, this will never go away. Welcome to the new authoritarian country, guys. That's always really been there, but now they're just showing you on its face.
Huh? No idea.
Oh, that's right. And using just Trump to justify everything. Gee, almost like it was part of the plan.
Move you outside of the fence? That's interesting. So now, if you look, guys, we have soldiers lined up.
Really screams freedom, doesn't it? Democracy.
How you doing, Captain?
That's not true, by the way. Somebody saying Bitcoin is as volatile as GameStop, that's wildly incorrect. Just take a look Any of these things, like, that is straight from mainstream media right there. I'm sorry if you didn't know that, but the point is what you're saying there is wrong, period. You can look at how, everything is volatile. Do you think we don't, look, do you realize how volatile, look at how much our dollar has changed. The only reason you don't recognize that is because it stays at one. The point is that there's all kinds of things that are wildly volatile that we actively engage in. The Bitcoin, especially you add on to the fact that these things are being aggressively attacked and manipulated as well. And then you should ask how in the hell it's still profitable up. You know, look at where it is, talking about volatile. It's just crazy. These are things that we've been constantly fed with since the beginning of all this, so that we go, oh, this is going to be used against us and we won't touch it. So they build it around you. Imagine if none of us had ever tried to use the internet and they built it around us and then they started using it. Think of how different that would be. Same thing. We use the internet. It was not meant to be our tool. It was meant to be used against us. It was a DARPA project. Now it's the tool by which we are fighting back, tool with which we're fighting back. So the point is, that is how we need to look at all of these, cryptocurrency or anything. They're just technologies, rather blockchain technology. It's how we apply it. Now this is the logical future that they're building for you right now with all these things, like especially if you continue to listen to what they say about tools that we might use to free ourselves.
Hey guys, how are you? LT, what's up, man? So they moved these guys outside the Russell Center building. Not exactly sure why. This is very, how you doing, buddy? Thanks for being here.
Switched another quick point. See, this I laughed the other day. This is what happens when I look at the chat. But somebody asked about a digital attack in that regard. I mean, the point is that right now your dollar is more volatile to a digital attack than cryptocurrency. Right now. It's all, these are all zeros and ones on computers. Right? So the same thing. Like your dollar and what's in your bank account is far easier to hack and manipulate than many of the most secure blockchain technologies.
So you got the police officers outside now, and you got the soldiers outside prepping for something.
Anyway, the point is you can see, this is all the way along, guys. Look at this. It's incredible. Barbed wire fences, military guards, police guards with shields, all the way out. I mean, this is the whole thing. This is where we are now. It's just incredible. All you people that believe, oh, yay, because the Trump bad guys are going to go after them, you are the reason this country is failing. But this is where we're going. This is what's being built, right? And this is being justified by a lot of things. One of them, of course, is COVID-19. And now, because the U.S. is actively looking at mandating testing for domestic travel, as right now you have to get a test going in and out of this country. Well, technically, based on Biden's, illegitimate mandate from an executive order that somehow claims that you have to take action when you're flying in airplanes, which has nothing to do with, well, I guess you could argue federal concept. The point is, these are supposed to only apply to the executive branch, period. You can move around resources of the government. You cannot say you have to wear a face mask, but they did that anyway. But this is the illegitimacy of this whole rule by executive order. But now the point is, this is what will happen. We already know this has been step by step. They've been floating them out. And then all of their lackey sycophants go, no, they'll never do that for freedom. And then it happens. And then they never come back and apologize. And they give another reason for why it's the smart thing to do now, even though they said it would never happen. One step at a time. Now it's going to be this. Next it'll be that. Next it'll be everything. Next it'll be, this is where it's going. They're going to make you do this everywhere. They're going to make you test everywhere. They're going to make you have a vaccine passport. They're going to control your movements. It's happening all around us. And I don't understand why it's so difficult for people to wrap their mind around that. You can see it happening. But to the note of testing, because this is where I want to begin in that regard, because they're going to be using this, obviously, to test you everywhere you go, which will only then increase the rate of what they're going to tell you are cases. But this is what we got from the WHO. Information for this is the notification they sent out about what they need to do in regard to the testing. Now, basically, the points were basically for them to make sure they read the instructions for use, which there used to be a link to that, which is no longer there, which nonetheless, I still have it from when they first had it. I find it very revealing that they don't want you looking at it, or at the very least, just chose to remove the link. But they also said that they need to send in their cycle threshold numbers. Now, why would they do that? I mean, it's clear that they want to keep track of what people are using. Then it says, WHO guidance diagnostic testing for SARS-CoV-2 states that careful interpretation of weak positive results is needed. Saying, yes, We have lots of false positives based on cycle threshold. Now, here's why I'm going over this again. First of all, the only thing you can click here is this diagnostic testing for SARS-CoV-2. Well, remember, there used to be the instructions for use, which I also have. But when you click on it, which used to be a dead link, the next day anyway, when I was showing on my show, it was dead. But now all of a sudden it has this, and this is what we're going to look at first. Now, this is their latest one, you can see. And either one basically has the same information, but we'll go through this and show you this is for the testing, and then we'll bring it all the way to the current. This is obviously, you can see September, but those are the most recent ones they have listed. Now, here's what it says very clearly. Careful interpretation of weak positive, and the NAA test is a PCR test. It's about, let me just grab it real quick so I can remember what that stands for. It is a nucleic acid amplification test, which that's the PCR test. So it's saying careful interpretation of weak positive results from those tests is needed, as some of the assays have shown to produce false signals at high cycle threshold values. So it's incredible that we can have that stated right in the documentation, and yet right now still we have the vast majority of the country going way over the cycle threshold that we'll get to in a minute that is clearly stated that they should not be going over. But I first want to show you that this is something that's not a sudden evaluation where they need to go, oh, well, we'll just send this out because we're now finally seeing that there's something going on. No, this is not new. They knew it even back in the middle of 2020, saying that, yes, by the way, so did Dr. Fauci, which I'll show you again in a minute. But here's the same document. It goes on. It says that those NAAT test systems have the capacity for fully automated testing that integrates sample processing as well as the capacity for RNA extraction, amplification, and reporting. So the reason I highlighted that is because I thought it was interesting that we're going to get to the point in a minute that shows you that these tests, many of them are already set at the levels that we're now finding out are absolutely too high. So then when you find out these systems are fully automated, even in regard to amplification, you begin to ask the question, if it's possible, if somebody who made these tests wants to make sure that they're set and automated to basically give the kind of results at the level they want them to, that would be possible. Then it says, when implementing these assays in specific settings, staff performing the test should be appropriately trained. Performance should be assessed in those specific settings, and a system to monitor quality should be put in place. Are any of those things happening? Right, this is their document, right? This is directly from the CDC information, and no, that's not happening. Staff performing the test should be appropriately trained. Are we going to pretend like people are being trained? They're giving these tests at bars and Walgreens. People are not trained to do this properly. People are doing on the side of the road. Are we going to pretend like these people are all appropriately trained? By the way, I know the answer to that, and it is no. I already saw people in the mainstream call this out. Some of them probably were, but we know that it wasn't broadly done. Why? I argue because they wanted this to happen. That's my opinion. Performance should be assessed in those specific settings. Are we having performance ratings in PCR testing areas? Have you heard of any of those? Because it's not happening. And a system to monitor quality should be put in place. When's the last time you heard about a quality test about the PCRs? All, people speak up and say, maybe there's giving false positives. Conspiracy theorist! You can't even offer up the possibility it's not working properly without someone screaming down your throat. So let's pretend like they're having test safety quality monitors to check whether they're working properly, because that wouldn't undermine the whole process. They're not doing any of this. Think about how crazy that is. They aren't even doing what their own documents say they should be doing. That shouldn't surprise us at all, though. Now, bringing us forward into the actual instructions for use from the very last one that went out. This is the instructions for use from this document. Here's what it says. Now, I went over this briefly last time, but I want to go even further and show you how clearly this is showing you the point. Now, it says under interpretation of results, the CT value of any fluorescent detection channel for a valid positive control should be no higher than 34. Right? This is the new information for use. Now, understand that if this, all these people that were screaming, oh no, you didn't even read the document. Nowhere in there did it say they were adjusting. Well, clearly the new information is very different than it was before. I mean, look, I'll just jump ahead real quickly and show you the older one. And you can clearly see that it says 40 in all of the examples. Now, we'll come back to this in a minute. But the point is, damn it, jumping way too far ahead. The point is that now it says 34. 34. I mean, here, this is a good point as any. I may play it again in a moment to see Those of you that have seen this many times, I'm sure, I want to make sure, for those that haven't seen it, to make sure you hear Dr. Fauci himself say quite clearly that this is, if it's anything over 35, that the possibility of it being replication competent is minuscule.
Evolving into a bit of a standard that if you get a cycle threshold of 35 or more, that the chances of it being replication competent are minuscule. Mm.
There you go. I mean, and this was months and months ago. So if he's saying that with such casual certainty on a podcast, which that was, why did he not care to tell anybody? And we could probably assume that they all know that. And why didn't they do anything about it? Or he didn't tell anybody. And why didn't he? But it goes on to say, all clinical samples should exhibit fluorescent growth curves in the CY5 channel that cross the threshold line within 40 cycles. That's important. Now, you could see here, it lists expected CT values. Less than 34. Less than 40. I mean, you won't find anything over that. And they're telling you 34. Now, understand that these things, they're basically, I'll wait till I get to that point further, but it says a specimen is positive for SARS-CoV-2 if there is a sigmoidal amplification curve in the FAM and HEX JOE channel, the CT value is not higher than 40. Continuously, right? And again, the point means you should understand that all across this country, they are using 40 to 45, by and large. I can't speak for every single lab everywhere, but we've already seen this routine repeatedly shown. And then you can see on performance of characteristics, it states quite clearly that their own tests don't go anywhere near. The highest one is 38.58. And this is on the low. The point is they're showing you the variation. Even their variation to prove their point doesn't even go over 40. And same thing here. And this is the general test, the 33, 33, 33. They're nothing even over 35. And as Don Walt points out, Dr. Fauci, if you can get a CT35 or more, the chances of it being replication competent are minuscule. So he understands this, and it's an important concept, as we should know, but has never thought to explain to the public that PCR tests overstate positives by up to 10%. And as he's saying, thanks to, who was this again, Adam Curry, for finding even Dr. Fauci himself saying the PCR cycle threshold above 35 are ridiculous. Ridiculous. So we know this is October 30th. Even Tom Woods is pointing this out. I mean, it's just, this is crazy how obviously this is being gamed. Now, here's an important point. I wanted to ask myself, I said, okay, well, if this is the case, and if they're using these tests and they know that they're using too much, they're going higher than they should be on the cycle threshold, I was curious who's making money from these tests. Now, I've yet to verify whether they're directly making profit, but I found it very interesting that under the top sellers of medical test kits, well, first of all, recognize how many there are. There's 22 different tests that are being sold for this same purpose, and yet we're going to pretend like they're all the same and being used the same. They all have different instructions, different variations, but yeah, let's use all these different tests all around the country and then make it all one number. I mean, it's like they're guaranteeing there's going to be variables. I mean, someone's already pointed this out in past like SARS. You go back and look at these other episodes, you will see that it's far, far more specific and far more, you know, basically they say, look, you have this exact symptom. You have this kind of test exactly. Nope, not this time. You might as well just roll the dice. Everything will add up to something different. But the real important part I found was that the first one was from the CDC. February 4th, by the way, which seems really early. I mean, the next closest test, if you can see, was almost a month later. I just found this to be interesting. But here's what it said. The CDC is a government organization based in Atlanta, Georgia. The organization CDC, the test name, 2009 COV real-time PCR, RT-PCR diagnostic panel, was the first coronavirus test approved in the United States. In February. But the point is, I think it's interesting that just like with vaccines, we know that the CDC clearly has a profit motive. Clearly. So now also I wonder if that is adding to that profit motive by selling the test that they need to use to maintain the illusion they're using to sell their vaccines. Interesting. But here it goes forward. This is from MedPage Today. This is from January 4th. I just find it crazy that this is being openly discussed, and yet we're, the media won't even touch it in the mainstream CNN, Fox News, MSNBC channels. Op-ed, why PCR cycle threshold is useful in coronavirus testing. It can help better triage patients, physicians argues, but here's what it says. So how does a qualitative RT-PCR test work? Basically, the manufacturer sets the test to turn off the cycling or amplification process when a certain number is hit. Okay, so that means the manufacturer decides to how high they want to let it go, right? Now it says for a qualitative test to, and now remember that the CDC was the first test that came out, meaning that the CDC's own documentation, or technically the WHO's own documentation, which the CDC is well aware of, says where they should be setting these things to. Now, they're not doing that. These are the tests that are being put out, and they're being set much higher. Now let's keep going. It says, for a qualitative test set to 40, after 40 amplification cycles, if any viral material is detected, it turns off and is reported as positive. If none is detected, it would be reported as negative. So, but the point being is that basically they can continue to amplify over and over until they see something. But if you go past a certain point, you could be seeing any number of other things. And that's what a lot of people are pointing out. Even someone like Carrie Mullis, that this is not what this should be used for. Because you go too far and basically you could be saying, yep, there's something. But you could be at a point so magnified that you're never going to get sick, and you never were even going to get sick, and you're not transmissive. That's probably most of what we're staring at. But it says, if the number of amplification cycles was really 15 or 25, it would actually still run until it gets to 40 because they have it set to 40 and be reported as positive. But nonetheless, it still shows where it was seen. Now it says, with these type of tests, it's critical to use an agreed upon cycle threshold value such as 33, which is what the CDC is saying. So wait a minute, if the CDC is saying 33 and the CDC's first test is coming out and those tests are most of these people are using them with a cycle threshold of 40 to 45, isn't that an interesting misconnection? We'll just pretend that it's incompetence. Or remember Dr. Fauci said 35 rather than setting it at a potentially misleading 40 or 45. Now, again, and you can, this is easy to research, guys. Many of the current tests in use right now are preset by these manufacturers. Remember the CDC being one of them, to these higher numbers. So it gives them the opportunity to go all the way up to 45. Now, remember, that's different than detecting something at 25 and having the process finish. And the difference is actually setting it all the way to 45 and letting it basically you're magnifying it to such a degree that you will find things that do not actually mean what you think they mean. It says the World Health Organization issued a notice last week telling the labs, quote, the cutoff should be manually adjusted to ensure that specimens with high CT values, cycle threshold, are not incorrectly assigned SARS-CoV-2 detected due to background noise. Right. So again, for those people that are out there screaming that we didn't read this properly, they're not very smart. Or they chose to listen to someone that they thought was smart, which also makes them not very smart. The point is, it very clearly said exactly what we thought was happening. They're telling people that you need to pull back on the threshold without explicitly saying that. It says, could this be the reason why many people test positive but remain asymptomatic? Even MedPage Today is pointing this out. Is that some memo? In that same memo, WHO said all labs should report the cycle threshold value to treating physicians. Now, CT value at 35, again, above that level, Fauci has said the test finding destroyed nucleotides, not virus capable of replicating. That's important. You're only finding destroyed nucleotides, right? So you think you're seeing something, but you're not. And this is happening all over the country. Now, the point I want you to get from this here, before we even go to the FDA part, is that this is being openly discussed. Fauci knows it. The CDC knows it. So why in the world, if this is the case first, did they allow this to go all the way until now? And second, why are they still allowing it to happen? They'd rather be incompetent than criminal. They can also say, well, we told them to use that test with that cycle threshold, but they used the other one, did what they wanted. It's their fault. Right? Don't you love the way of governance today? It's their fault. They didn't do it. That's not what leaders do. Leaders don't point and blame somebody else. But that's the kind of leadership we deal with today. Here is the CDC 2019 novel coronavirus real-time PCR test diagnostic panel, and it is from December 1st, 2020. All right, so not long ago. Okay, so this is one of the most recent. Here's what it says. All clinical samples should exhibit fluorescent growth curves in the NNACE-P reaction that cross the threshold line within 40 cycles, under 40 cycle threshold. And I just want to point out that it continually lists this throughout the whole thing. A specimen is considered negative if all the markers, cycle threshold growth curves, do not cross the threshold line within 40 cycles. Under 40, under 40, under 40, under 40. It's the whole thing. Performance of the 2019 COV real-time RT-PCR diagnostic panel was compared to performance with an authorized extraction method. And when they do their comparison, right? They see the point is they constantly say under 40, but when they do their comparison, look at where they keep them. 32, 31, 33, 32, 35, 31, 36, 33. Now remember, they're not, this isn't in regard, this is comparing the tests as a, just a, as a theoretical, right? So they're keeping them to a clear point. And the reality is that this is where it should be. And they know that. I mean, I'm just beating a dead horse here, but we need to recognize how obviously they have always known that this was the case. They know. So then you have to ask the question, why did they continue to allow it to go higher? And even then, why did they allow us to think that these were not, or allow us to think that these were potential dangerous situations when they know that this is an area that they've allowed us to be in that is guaranteeing that it might as well be 50-50 at this point? And that's what, I mean, look, we just talked about Dr. Scoglio, PhD, who's telling you that based on the levels that he has already verified, and this is not just the US, by the way, I'm just talking about the US. He's talking about around the world. He's saying that he has verified that most people are using 40 to 45, and that upwards of that level, you're getting 95% false positives. That is from Scoglio, PhD. Now, he could be wrong, but I think, I mean, even the CDC right now on their website says 30%. They have always known this was the case, and they're playing on incompetence. They're pretending like, well, we told them, and they're just breaking the rules. And then they lock you down and control your life and destroy everything. Now, weird, look at that. All of a sudden, we got the cases dramatically going down right after January. I mean, it's not a secret. I mean, some of the point is some people out there got the message. Some of them started to pull back, and that's why that's happening. Oh, and by the way, here's a varying test that you might have to be taking soon. This is not a joke, by the way. This is from China. I mean, they're talking about anal tests now, and that's supposed to be better. But the point is, guys, this is just going so far. I feel like they're just waiting to see when we freak out. I mean, why? I don't know why we're already not freaking out. But this is the same test we're talking about, understand, the same idea. And on top of the PCR test that is very clearly being allowed to be at a cycle threshold that is guaranteeing upwards of 95% false positives, we also just simply have them continuing to lie about people's deaths on their death certificates. This is from a pastor from a funeral. Take a listen to what she has to say.
Hi, everyone. I just came back from doing a funeral, and I was so angry, which now the anger has left me, and I'm just, I don't know what to say, really. A bit stunned, very disappointed, sad. Nothing to do with the funeral. It's to do with the fact yet another person who has died has had COVID-19 put on their death certificate, and they didn't die of that. And the family are there saying, he didn't die of that. I know what he died of, and I'm not going to talk about it now. And it was not COVID-19. 2 days ago, I had a phone conversation with a friend, and, you know, we haven't been seeing each other. And her husband's father died. And he died of cancer. And they looked, and there on the death certificate was COVID-19. Last year, a very close friend of mine, his dad died of dementia, age-related death, COVID-19. How is this going to stop? How are we going to stop this happening? you know, one reason I've been told is that they get more money if the person has died of COVID-19. You get a certain amount of money for death. You get a certain amount of money for this and that. And then you get a certain amount of money, which is huge compared to the first amount. Well, that is disgusting. These are human beings we're talking about here. But all it is doing is fueling the fear. And there are so many of us, and I have had my moments, can tell you, of being in fear, utter fear. The people that are still watching their mainstream news, and I don't care if it's Al Jazeera or RT, they're all the same. And the only thing that keeps coming up and breaking news at the bottom, I only know this because I have been in a home, not now, of course, but been in a home where it's just rolling.
It's pretty interesting. Seems quite upsetting, unnerving to continue to see people speaking out and all they get is negativity and hate. Now, I guess someone in the chat said she's a priest instead. I don't know what, I can't verify one or the other. Maybe you can tell by the way what she's wearing. I'm not exactly sure. But nonetheless, it's just disconcerting to continue to see people who take the courage to speak out and say, this is happening. And we can see it happening. Like family members going, look, I know he died of this. I watched it happen. And they still put it on the death certificate because of the way that they have their definitions. And they've admitted it. I already showed you the clips before where they're telling you, look, if they die within 28 days for any reason, we're going to call it a COVID death. They've stated that. It's right on their own posters. But we're all fake news though, right? Oh, and by the way, don't be afraid because China's trying to steal your DNA. Are they? Probably. I have no doubt in my mind that every government everywhere is trying to get an edge on the other countries about their biosecurity, you know, technocratic control mechanisms. But it's so incredibly dishonest to sell this as if what basically the whole meme here that's coming from this that I've seen all over mainstream media and a lot of people pushing it on independent as well. Then, of course, you know, China bad guy, and China government is definitely bad guy, but so is U.S. government. But the point is that they are saying they're trying to steal your DNA by using these tests. So don't take theirs, take the U.S. government's test. Sure, because that's better. DNA, was it 23andMe and all these, you know, they already got caught trying to do this. So, I mean, look, at this point, it's who do you know for sure is trying to steal your DNA? Or you know, DNA grabs and all that, you know for sure your government is. That's beyond a shadow of a doubt. They've already been trying to do this forever. And it's on its face happening right now in regard to COVID-19 measures. They're already talking about gathering information for genome. It's already happening. And so is China doing it too? Probably. But look, we've got very real world evidence that your government's doing it. So what the fact that they're going, look, scared, China's doing that. I argue more than anything, it's because they know they're doing it. And it's the whole accuse them of that which you are guilty kind of a thing. It's just so insulting to our intelligence that they sell you these ridiculous narratives, and they're ridiculous not because it's not happening, but because they are obviously doing it. Right? It's like I don't know. I just think it's the whole thing comes back to a test, I guess, a testing lab or company, BGI Group, that's a Chinese company that's being, you know, that we have different groups have utilized, you know, and so now it's just like anything else. It's like when it's still sort of Russia, but when it was the real Russiagate. You know, anything Russia, Russian dressing was the joke. Oh, it's dangerous. It's bad. Same idea. You know, do I believe that China's government has influence over pretty much every company that's on? Yeah, probably. But it's just so stupid and ignorant to continue to. So if you think this way, you should apply the same logic to any company that's operating in this country, because it's probably the same thing. Just we need to get out of these nationalistic mindsets, the idea. And I'm not talking about not believing in the American people and what we are, but realizing that your governments is what I'm talking about are the problem. And they're all the damn same. And it's just time we see that and start fighting for the people, including the Chinese people and the Iranian people and the actual peoples that are suffering under these governments. That's what we need to continue to see. Now, on the vaccine front, it's really ridiculous that we're talking about a test that's being used to drive these things that is obviously not accurate, like flagrantly so. So it's like if we have 95% false positives, that's why they need this to drive this idea. But this is what they're doing. They're so desperate to get this out. Get this. It says public health workers in Oregon were driving back from a coronavirus vaccination site when they got stuck in the snow. They then walked from car to car giving shots to drivers with vaccine doses that would expire in 6 hours. Right, because that sounds totally safe. Right? How about you just let them expire and get more? I mean, in any sense, I think it's incredible that these people on the side of the road, as this person says, this is reckless and stupid. And this is the best point in this discussion, in this regard to what they did. What would they have done if someone had a reaction? You know, like the vast majority, I shouldn't say vast majority, but a lot of the people. Probably is, but I can't say that. Plus, the Moderna shot is known to make one feel pretty crappy after the first dose. Then they have to drive in bad weather? They don't care. No, the point is, vaccine equals good and noble, period. If you argue that it's dangerous, well, you're a bad person. Oh, but it is dangerous. But who cares? You shouldn't say that. Right? I mean, this is, think about how crazy it is. They're giving this thing to people. People have, look at what, people passing out, people having seizures. And yeah, let's let them drive home in the dangerous snow that you just got stuck in. The only thing they care about is getting this being people's arms at all costs. You just have to realize how unscientific, unmedical, this is dangerous in every way. This is a reckless push. And as CNN's even pointing out now, due to a small number of study participants in the age group, under 65 years, or some people over 65 years, no conclusion can be made regarding efficacy and safety in the elderly. Right? It's so stupid that we have to force them to say these things. We have been saying this for months. I said this a long time ago. You know why? Because it was very clear a long time ago. They didn't test for this. They didn't test for transmissive or to stop transmission. All they did was make something that would slightly reduce your symptoms in a middle grade. That's it. They didn't go after dropping hospitalizations. They didn't go after stopping severe cases. They didn't. It's all right there in their information. Forbes wrote about it 6 months ago. But now they're having to well, you shouldn't get it if you're over 65. As they've already given it to millions of people that are all dropping like flies, according to one nurse. These people are criminally accountable, but I doubt they'll ever be held accountable. This vaccine is therefore currently recommended for only people aged 18 to 64. But guess what, guys? They're still doing it anyway. There are people right now, this is the AstraZeneca, by the way, there are people right now that are being given this shot by labs that are not caring because they personally have deemed the threat, because the media told them so, to be more important than the possible risks. That is happening. Look at Hank Williams. Look at the people that are dying or choosing to do it because they're doing it for everybody else. They've been propagandized. Healthcare worker dies after second dose of COVID vaccine. Investigation's underway. Of course, they'll say, we can't prove it, so it's not. The message is, be safe, take the vaccine. But the officials need to do more research. We need to know the cause, said the wife of Tim Zook of Orange, looks maybe Orange County. Anyway, that's all they get, right? Well, the vaccine's safe because we know it's safe, so just take it anyway and we'll look into it. Probably because he was old or sick. And that's where it will end. 39-year-old nurse aide dies within 48 hours of receiving mandated COVID-19 shot because she's a nurse. She was coming home from work, and as soon as she drove into her parking lot, she passed away, according to her brother. This is happening every day right now. Here, by the way, I wanted to include this video. This is the full video. It's 47 minutes long. I'll probably break this down in some other parts, but this is the guy. This I'm pretty sure this was re-uploaded, but this is the guy who spoke out about people dropping like flies. And this is the full video for you to check out. Now, here is a summary compilation of adverse reactions to COVID-19. I'll leave this as well for you to dive through. There's a lot of links here at the bottom for you to reference and double check. But here, just the real general point. Look at the difference between the report. Look, total reported deaths after all vaccinations, right? These are different. This is all other vaccines, the different color. The dark blue is COVID. Look at the difference. Now, yes, we're talking about reported, which means they might not be accurate, but that still stands for the other ones too. Where are all the inaccurate reports of the other ones if this is normal? They're not there. They're lying to you. People are seriously being injured by this. Here's another one. Total reported deaths after COVID-19 vaccination by age. And you could see that over 65 is 73% of them. Yeah, we're going to say, oh, because they're all old. There's no, I mean, this is not how what is happening. People are clearly saying, look, this, you know, this person was not maybe elderly, but wasn't ill, wasn't sick, you know, and they end up just because they have comorbidities, like most everybody in elderly age does. They die 2 days later and they say, well, they were old. But of course, if you die after getting tested for COVID-19, after a month, even though you have no symptoms and you're old, they'll still say, well, it was COVID-19. Because that's called being a hypocrite. Total reported adverse events after flu versus COVID-19. Again, reported adverse events, not just deaths, but just general adverse events. And it's reported, meaning it's the same concept. They could, where are all the false ones they're saying, or why this makes up 9,429 false adverse events? I mean, the biggest one is 1,157 for flu. It's very, very, this is what Alex Berenson was pointing out. This is dramatically higher, reported or not, of any of the others. Total reported deaths after H1N1 vaccination. I mean, I'll let you go through this yourself, guys. It's very clear. I mean, I just can't see how this could be any more clear. Not just this one document, but the whole damn thing. 329 deaths plus 9,516 other injuries reported following COVID vaccines, according to the latest CDC data. It's all, and this is what's interesting, is that we're beginning to see the contrast is becoming quite clear. And there's even more studies coming out that are showing us, and clearly showing us and telling us that this is not as dangerous as they said it was before. And I'm talking directly discussing the infection fatality rate. This is what it says. And I'll, just the main part, but I'll read the full study. It's called Review of Calculated SARS-CoV-2 Infection Fatality Rates, Good CDC Science versus Dubious CDC Science, The Actual Risk That Does Not Justify the Cure, Professor Joseph Audi. Now, in the interesting part is how this, there are so many people coming out challenging this right now. This is from August, but understand it still relates to the point right here. He says SARS-CoV-2 poses a significant risk to the well-defined, vulnerable population of elderly and infirm people and is a statistical non-issue for the vast majority of people. Now, it says the above analysis in regard to what you should do, essentially the Barrington Declaration kind of direction, the above analysis and policy recommendation should be seen as controversial. Should be seen as controversial. Indeed, it is only controversial because of mass hysteria. Rather, it follows logically from an accurate infection fatality-based understanding of the flu-like lethality of SARS-CoV-2 and a simple relative risk analysis. He's talking about COVID-19. It reflects common sense, universal practice in what we should be doing, he's saying, official pandemic mitigation planning, and the opinions of many experts, including a former lockdown proponent as architect. It has been demonstrated to work during the previous pandemics of 57, 68, and 2009. And perhaps most importantly, it has been shown to work in present-day non-lockdown countries and free U.S. states like Sweden, Japan, Belarus, Tanzania, Nicaragua, South Korea, Taiwan, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Arkansas, Wyoming, and Iowa, respectively. But yeah, nowhere in the world have we shown that. I mean, think about how dumb that is. These places are showing, and at the time they were anyway, there's still some that held out that never instituted lockdowns. I believe South Dakota was one of them, or North Dakota. And they're showing you now that they're falling without it, and they were never in serious risk. I mean, it's showing you that this is not correct. Not only in this study that the flu-like risk, the infection fatality rate being dramatically lower. I mean, this is even based on the previous information that's based on, and he states in here that it's in fact far, far lower. Even the CDC now says, 0.05 under 70? And yet we're still using this to scare you and make you do things that are, even those things are unjustified. But some good news is that for EU citizens, a majority vote in the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe affirms that states must not make coronavirus vaccination mandatory for anyone. And at least for the time being, they must not use vaccination certificates as passports. Here's the article itself. You can read. Have to translate it. Oh, hold on. I forgot I'm on the Brave browser now. There we go. Double no to vaccination and passport requirements. So what we're seeing is a lot is happening around the world. And there are actually people that are starting to stand up and go, look, guys, this doesn't make any sense. And I can only guess that they would be honest people fighting back, or maybe they have an agenda to fight back. In any sense, it aligns with what we should actually want. A majority vote. Think about that. A majority vote is pushing back against the idea of what everybody is currently driving for right now. There is hope, guys. It just takes us to stand up for it. We need to stand up and fight for these people that are standing up for you. Now, finally, on masks, or actually masks and then lockdown. But this is crazy because we're talking about this again, this is all justified based on the things that aren't actually there. In a general sense, that are dramatically lower than we're being told. Tests that are giving you dramatically high false positives. death certificates that are being lied about. I mean, it's the whole damn thing. But no longer constrained by Trump, apparently, the CDC issues an order that makes not wearing a mask on public transportation a federal crime. Now, when did I don't remember the CDC becoming an elected official that can pass law. Oh, that's right. It's because emergency powers. Ah, so now just because they say danger emergency, we can just state mandates. Yep, we see that everywhere. They're claiming that this is such a severe threat, such a serious pandemic threat that we're all going to, even though the stats don't back it up, even though the tests don't back it up, even though the numbers and everything else around it don't back it up, they're telling you that they have the authority to just force you to wear something as a medical treatment that is a non-pharmaceutical in treatment. And not only that, that it's actually a federal crime that you can go to jail for or find if you choose to disregard it. This is alarming. I mean, imagine if FEMA started. I mean, it's the same idea, guys. We're talking about groups that should not be in the policy-making position, right? And this is, in a sense, the CDC is supposed to be informing the people making policy decisions. But because we're in a situation where they claim we're in a pandemic scenario, you know, serious scenario, that these people can just step up and start making laws. And it's alarming. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention issued an order on January 29th requiring the wearing of masks by travelers to prevent the spread of the virus that causes COVID-19. Now, these masks, by the way, that are very clearly having serious side effects, especially during winter, which we just showed you the other day. Now, conveyance operators must also require, so now they're pushing off the responsibility to bus drivers or people in that seat. Do you think they're going to want to have to deal with the hostility and the tension and the unjust, unconstitutional actions they must take? These are cowards. They're putting this off on the enforcement arm because they can't do it themselves. Conveyance operators must also require all persons on board to wear masks. So they have to do it. So now they're police. Bus drivers are police now. Disembarking and end duration of the travel. All right, so they have to not only make sure they wear them on and off, they have to make sure they wear them while they're disembarking. It says operators of transportation hubs must require all persons to wear masks when entering or on the premises of the hub. So that means like in a subway station or a bus station. Now, so again, now you're talking about the operator who's selling tickets or whoever's there that needs to enforce you doing that. Not police. They're saying they do, but the police will too. This is just creating a snitch society where everyone will be tattling on their neighbors and everyone around them. This order must be followed by all passengers on public conveyances, airplanes, ships, ferries, trains, subways, buses, taxis, ride shares, traveling into, within, or out of the United States, as well as conveyance operators, crew drivers, conductors, and workers involved in the operation of conveyances, and operators of transportation hubs, airports, buses, ferries, terminals, trains, subway stations, seaports, ports of entry, or any other area that provides transportation. So these people that are there all day have to wear it all day. I was just thinking about this with the mailman, right? I mean, think about this. These people are wearing this, what, 8 hours a day? Nonstop because they're out and they're in their federal, they're doing what they're doing. I mean, that is eight hours a day, 5 days a week for how long? No doctor ever will tell you that is okay. That is absolutely dangerous. And every doctor who's being honest and actually speaking about this will tell you that they'll get dizzy wearing it for an hour or so. Right now, you're watching things happen to people and they just don't want to tell you about it. And oh, by the way, the studies and the facts very clearly back this up, as I'll reiterate at the end of this part. But it says cloth masks, of course, because they're still doing their part to keep you sick. They got to make sure you wear the cloth mask because remember that this is the one that causes the most damage. Constantly we know this, and we all need to make sure that this is not some kind of, we need to recognize that the only random controlled trial of cloth masks very clearly says that moisture retention, reuse of cloth, and poor filtration will result or may result in increased risk of infection. That is the absolute finding, and they say, and basically result in the caution against using them at all. 2015. That is very clear. And yet ever since then, they've made sure that that's the one you should wear, the one that's dangerous, the one that causes infections, the one that can increase your risk of bacterial pneumonia, which has the same side of the same symptoms as COVID-19 and is contagious and is clearly being diagnosed as COVID-19, because all pneumonia right now is being lumped in to COVID-19, as you should know. It's PIC on the CDC website, which stands for pneumonia, influenza, and COVID. Their deaths are all three combined, and they're not even hiding it. So, as the increase of bacterial pneumonia, which gets deemed COVID with the false PCR test, continues to increase, so too will their illusion. And that's why they're going, wear your cloth mask. And now you have to, all the time. Should be made with two or more layers of breathable fabric that is tightly woven. Oh, so now you're putting, now you're telling them what to do. You know, a month ago, a week ago, yesterday, it was, you know, buy whatever cloth you can put on your face. Gee, I wonder why it was so loosey-goosey. Well, now make sure that it's not a crochet that has big holes in it. I mean, it's just so dumb that they can't say that first. How do we not see this was meant to happen this way? Fabrics that do not let the light pass through. Cool. I'm glad that needed to be clear. But masks can be either manufactured or homemade. So cool, you can still make your homemade mask. But as long as it applies to their arbitrary guidelines, which still make you sick. In my opinion. I mean, that's not my opinion. That is the study. That's what it says. Increases the risk of infection. I don't know why we have to tiptoe around the facts. Medical masks and N95 respirators fulfill the requirements. So they're still saying that, even though we know as a matter of fact that N95 respirators only work one way. When you breathe out, it lets it right out. This is not a secret. When you breathe in is when filter kicks in and it blocks what you're breathing in, because they're not meant to block. Think about how dumb it is to make this simple and clear. They're telling you that you'll kill your grandma. That's what makes this dangerous. You'll kill your grandma. It's not really about protecting you. So why is an N95 respirator actually okay if when you breathe out, it doesn't actually stop anything? Oh, that's right, because they're just still going off what the narrative was. Well, N95 is the best, medical mask is the next best, cloth mask after that. Nope. That's been shown. I mean, look it up. It doesn't matter. It's about compliance, guys. I mean, if we lived in anything other than a clown world, you would have any number of actual journalists that go up and go, wait a minute, did you just say N95 is compliant? Well, isn't the argument that this is more dangerous for your grandma, and yet that doesn't stop when you breathe out? Explain. They won't have an explanation. They just won't, because there's nothing. No one will ask that question. And if they do, it won't be on TV. Well, guess what? Guess what doesn't follow the requirements, right? So now that they force you to do this, guess what doesn't fulfill the requirements? Face shields or goggles. You mean those things that everybody were being allowed to wear? So were they making people sick? Were they not helping? Who cares? It's just one more thing that didn't make sense, and now it doesn't anyway, and we're moving past it. You could have worn face shield and goggles this whole time, and they wouldn't have hassled you, except the fact that it doesn't actually meet what they said with their standards. Why wouldn't they have done this in the beginning? If this was the case, if this was the most dangerous pandemic in a century, they would have come out with very strict guidelines about how they're made, where they come from, how you dispose them, and what you should be using. They didn't do that. They said, go put a piece of sock on your face or a t-shirt. You're good. I mean, that's not even a joke. They literally had articles about how to make your own mask out of clothing at your house. Scarves, ski masks, baklavas, or bandanas don't work anymore. So now bandanas, which are what a lot of people are wearing because they said cloth and they didn't really differentiate, and now they're saying, no, you can't. Good God, this is so incredible how broke. I mean, if this really is just them continuing to flip-flop or make new statements or go back on what they said, this has got to be the most incompetent group of people I've ever seen in my life. Masks made from loosely woven fabric. And by the way, this is not because of evolving information, guys. This is exactly what we had said in the beginning that they're now finally coming back to. It was always there. Masks made loosely woven fabric or that are knitted. But didn't they just say that you could make your own and knit it if it was tight enough? If light doesn't get past it, then you're okay. Because we know that viruses can only go where light can go. Masks made from materials that are hard to breathe through. Right. So only wait 9 months to let them know that you shouldn't put something over your face that suffocates you. Right. Wise choice. I mean, if we got to put on the side of things like Pop-Tarts to not stick your hand in the toaster with it, then I'm pretty sure we should have told these people that they shouldn't suffocate themselves to keep themselves from dying from a virus that's not actually dangerous. But, you know, call me crazy, as they all do. But here's the better part, where Sage urges, I believe it's number 10, or how you would say that, it's a company to make face masks, maybe I did mispronounce that. Well, they're urging to make face masks compulsory outdoors. I guess I misunderstood what that was earlier today when I looked at this. I'm assuming, give me somebody that's in the UK, let me know, maybe that's a government concept. In any case, what they're talking about is Sage, which we all should know by now, this group that's driving all this policy, think tank experts, and basically giving us what we don't want. They're urging to make face masks compulsory outdoors. Outdoors. In crowded areas, but they then go on to list things like parks. So a park, they're just going to deem a crowded area. even if it's not. We've already seen this happening, as well as outdoor markets, supermarkets, anything. So now we're at a point where they're saying, well, you have to wear it anywhere on federal land, anywhere on public transportation of any kind, and now we're flirting with the idea of just making it outdoors too. Oh, what does that amount to? Oh, that's right. All the time, everywhere. Whoever thought that would happen? Oh, that's right. Anybody who was paying attention. Of course, all the people watching are going, they'll never do that. You're crazy, Ryan. Don't assume they're not going to do that. And they said the same thing about the last 13 steps they took. I'm not saying I know for sure, but I am saying based on what they've already done and based on what I know about them, I can almost guarantee this is where this is going. It's quite disgusting, especially coming off what we know, right? I'm not saying what we think, what we know. Here's an interesting part to add to this. Now, to be clear, this is from July 12th, 2020. Somebody shared this with me, and I just thought this was so interesting because of who is saying it and what it's saying. Now, this is a health correspondent for BBC. For BBC, okay? So whether, and by the way, what she's saying is accurate, but whether or not it was, it's still an important note because it's a mainstream health correspondent for BBC that is saying what we're saying, but she was saying it back in July. She wouldn't be allowed to say it today. I'm surprised it's still on her account, but here's what it says. Face masks, a thread. On Friday, they broadcasted a film looking at some of the scientific debate around masks. She said she wanted to respond to some of the points made by this individual. Trisha Greenhall, clearly, you know, wearing a mask. COVID is airborne, blue check. We know we can pretty much surmise what that was all about. But she's saying made by her on social media. I don't usually do this, but she is influential. Clearly, just a very pro-mask idea. Now, you'll be shocked by what she has to say here. Remember, a health correspondent for BBC. We absolutely told her it would include people who are critical about the evidence base, which, again, you will not find today, and who they are before. I don't have to do this, but I recorded the process to ensure it was captured. I would love to see that. I can't seem to find this anywhere. She could have backed out at any point. Clearly, it became contentious, is the idea. Which means, it suggests, and you'll clearly see, that Deborah, at the very least, at some degree, was arguing the opposite side, and that didn't make the other person happy. We're talking about this as the other person, Trisha. Now, it says, she tried to warn me off. This is crazy. So Trisha tried to warn off the health correspondent on BBC about talking about the evidence, not hypotheticals, but actual evidence, like the studies she's talking about. Right? So it's critical about the evidence base. So this person, who's a math proponent, tried to warn her away as a BBC health correspondent from discussing that evidence, saying that that people would die if she talked about the evidence. That is a influential mask leader. This is what I've been telling you from the beginning. Truth creates vaccine hesitancy. They will hide the truth if they think it will stop you from taking the vaccine, which even then in their backward mind, even though they know they're hiding the truth, will justify that that truth would hurt people because it would stop them from taking the vaccine. But the truth shows you the vaccine is dangerous or whatever we're talking about. In this case, the vaccines don't work. But the circular logic is astounding. How can the evidence kill people? And all it would ever do was essentially create more understanding. But she thinks that'll stop people from wearing masks, even though the evidence would be evidence. But because she's just arbitrarily decided that masks are the best thing since sliced bread, that will hurt people because they're not wearing masks, even though the evidence shows that they're not right. It's dumb. But it says this is not false balance, which is what she's saying. False balance is what we're always talking about in the media. Right? The idea that they have... So if you cover a bad story about Republicans, well, then you have to just cover a bad one about Democrats. But what if there isn't a bad story about Democrats? Well, you just make one, you find one. That's called false balance. It doesn't matter if you have one negative story about the Republicans or the Democrats. The point is, if it's happening, you cover it. You don't need to manufacture something to balance it out. That's what they want you to see. That's not what's happening here. It's just, as I understand it, if there wasn't equipoise, why would there be an ongoing clinical trial in Denmark, which I have here for you to look at, which, by the way, seems to have finished in August, or at least it looks like it was completed, maybe even April, first posted, latest update was August 3rd. It says completed, but you won't find the results. No results posted. I already covered this a while back, and they still haven't posted the results. This is a random control trial, or what's the terminology that she just used? Clinical trial, and I believe it is a random controlled trial. I've covered this in the past. But the point is that... Here we go. Just wanted to quickly take a quick glance in case it catches my eye. I remember covering this before. Yes. So we're talking about a random controlled trial in regard to whether or not masks work or are necessary. That'd be a huge important thing during all this, and it still hasn't come out, which I find very revealing. But that's what she's saying. If there wasn't balance here, why would there... Basically, if there wasn't a people on the other side saying, here are actual evidence and studies that this doesn't work, why would that be happening, is your point. But she says, people with disabilities had contacted her to say that they were worried about wearing face masks because of problem with hearing and sight. It's fair to include their concerns. What she says is, we had been told, and this is the important part, a BBC health correspondent, we had been told by various sources, WHO committee reviewing the evidence had not backed masks. Let me just say that again. The WHO committee reviewing the evidence had not backed masks, that they work, but they recommended them due to political lobbying. They recommended them due to political lobbying. This point was actually put to the WHO, who did not even deny it. This whole thing is a damn clown show, guys. We are being deceived. And I guarantee you it is not everybody, probably not even most, but there is a very clear level of powerful, influential people at the top of to some degree that are clearly making this happen. They made this happen. Remember, this is why in the beginning they said, don't do it. There's not enough science. And people like in Denmark specifically are still saying that they don't do it, that they don't support them in this case, I should say. So here is BBC, this health correspondent, telling you that they basically made you wear masks because of political lobbying. And then WHO didn't even deny that that was the case. We said some people think we should not wait for random controlled trials. Remember when I keep telling you that all the random controlled trials clearly say that there's not a statistically significant difference? Well, that's why they said we're not going to wait for more, because we already know what the first ones say. Before putting policies in place, we will not wait for new studies that are the gold standard. We're just going to do this because lobbyists tell us to. Remember this, the document I've read a bunch from WHO from 2011, where they're calling out the influence of fear and the irrelevant vaccine policies and basically using people in the industry to drive direction for policy in regard to vaccines and viruses. And arguing that that was entirely political and the wrong thing back in 2011. Clearly, that's not the case anymore. We see the shift. We see that other people got powerful and got other people in control in these positions. And now we see that they're only political. That's what they're doing. Now, this is interesting, as she goes on to say, Trish is right. And this is the same person we're talking about here. We did not use all of her interview. So this got contentious, is the point. I did not use the part where she said, and this is really important, lifting masks to eat, feed kids, putting them in your pocket, wearing them around your neck wasn't a problem. So I don't know why we would listen to this average person. Well, I mean, it looks like she's a professor of primary care. Okay, my point is, everybody everywhere that's actually wearing these even on the mainstream, they're saying that if you touch this, if you adjust it, if you put it in your pocket, God forbid, it is wildly contaminated. I don't know why that's so complicated. This is basic stuff. But because she's advocating for them, clearly, that very obvious problem, it doesn't matter. Why? Probably because that risk is worth it in her mind. Because this is so dangerous, but it's not. She says, I wasn't clear where evidence is for that and what infection control message it sends. I'm not, basically she ends up muting this conversation because the hostility towards any discussion is rather unpleasant. Let that sink in. In July, BBC was flirting with the discussion of whether or not these are actually what they say they are. And even she couldn't even have a conversation because of the vitriol, the hatred towards anybody that is daring to challenge their vaccine and mask gospel. Even the mainstream media. This is what it looks like sort of when the WHO comes out and says lockdowns aren't what we should be doing. And all the people that have been screaming we can't challenge the WHO suddenly start saying they can't do that. They suddenly start challenging the WHO. Because they're hypocrites, and it's not about what they're telling you it's about. But as they point out as well, they won't even release the Danish random controlled trial. It's crazy, guys. It's absolutely crazy. But this is from July. And even without her, it doesn't, just because somebody on the mainstream says something doesn't necessarily, it doesn't give it more credence. But for some people it does. So I wanted to make sure you saw this to recognize that there is plenty. Does she suddenly become a conspiracy theorist because she's looking at the science and coming to the correct conclusion? I mean, it's just so pathetic where we are. And to finish up the mask thing before we finish on lockdowns, this was shared with me again today. This was the very first one that I shared. This was the very first study that I came out with that really opened this Pandora's box for me, right? I fell down this rabbit hole, and clearly, I guess you could argue, another analogy, I'm dying on this hill, right? I mean, I am absolutely going to stand for the, I'm not going to let them get away with this obvious manipulation, because it's so, this is one of the most clumsy, painfully obvious things I've ever seen. This is their own random, this is their own, not random, I'm trying to think of the term they use. Meta-analysis, right? Where they basically gather up all of the other things and they analyze them, and then they come back and give you their overview. So this happened in May, right? The CDC in May, and again, I just want to reiterate, this is the first one that I covered way back when. I mean, this is before I saw anybody talking about this, and basically pointed out, hey guys, this study clearly says, as their own finding, that they don't have an effect, that they're telling you. Well, and this is, and there were other people saying similar stuff, but look at where we are now compared to what they found, and ask yourself what's different. So they gather up all the random controlled trials and they tell you what they say. And it's the opposite of what they're saying today. Then a month later, they do it again and just completely say the opposite. Does that make sense to anybody? I mean, they didn't find new data. They didn't add new things. There wasn't new studies. They just gathered it up again and said something different, and then acted like this one was irrelevant because of what they said. So if it's irrelevant, how in the world could they come to this very clear conclusion if a month later they just said something different? Here's what it says. This is about not just masks, but non-pharmaceutical measures for pandemic, and specifically in regard to influenza. But don't let that point, they use this to manipulate. This is about transmission of viruses. We're talking about influenza and COVID-19. They transmit very, or specifically SARS-CoV-2, they transmit very similar. Size difference, transmit very similar. Very easy to look up. And in regard to a study about how masks work and whether or not these things stop viruses in general, you could use influenza, you could use any number of things, and it would apply the same logic. So the same thing they do with Kerry Mullis, they say, oh, he was talking about HIV when he said the PCR test isn't supposed to be used for the... No, he wasn't, in fact. He was maybe at the time frame, maybe he was, and maybe the larger discussion, there was a discussion about HIV, but when he made that statement, he said viruses. He said that this is not meant for the way that it's being used in regard to viruses, not one thing or the other. So when they try to make it that COVID wasn't around yet, they're playing on your ignorance. They're playing on the ability to trust them instead of the statement that he made, which is that this is not correct for what they're using it for. So in this sense, it's the same thing. This is absolutely applicable to COVID-19. Now it says face masks in regard, there's a bunch of them, but it says the evidence from 14 random controlled trials of these measures of multiple did not support a substantial effect on transmission of laboratory confirmed influenza. Just to start, just in the abstract. Now, this is the only part I want to go over again. Just to make sure we remember this from May, from the beginning of when this was being pushed. And this is all you need to understand. Not because it shouldn't mean you should look at nothing else, but recognize that this is the very group who's telling you that you should be listening to them, that they have all the information, who did exactly what they're telling you that we need to be doing, and came to the conclusion that they're now saying the opposite of. We identified 10 random controlled trials in pooled analysis. This is for masks alone. We found no significant reduction in transmission with the use of face masks. One study evaluated the use of face masks among pilgrims from Australia during the Hajj pilgrimage and reported no major difference in the risk for laboratory-confirmed influenza virus infection in the control or mask group. Now, the point of what they're going through here is showing you real world, right? Real world analysis of people living in the real world. Then they did two studies in university settings, assessed the effectiveness of face masks. The overall reduction in the confirmed LIL or laboratory confirmed influenza cases in the face mask group was not significant in either study. Then we went to 7, then household. The point is, this goes over every single search situation. 7 household studies evaluated face mask use as a source control for infected persons only. The remaining studies provided masks for the infected persons as well as their close contacts. Then it says, none of the household studies reported a significant reduction in secondary laboratory-confirmed influenza virus infections in the face mask group. Now, this I find to be the most important part. Disposable medical masks, also known as surgical masks, are loose-fitting devices that were designed to be worn by medical personnel to protect accidental contamination of patient wounds and to protect the wearer against splashes or sprays of bodily fluids. So you're telling me that at this point, CDC is telling you what these are used for. And don't say used to stop viruses, which is what anybody would say right now if asked. Well, they're used to stop the transmission of viruses. That's what the average person has been convinced of. But the CDC doesn't say that. They simply just go, well, they're used to stop splashes and blood from accidental contamination of the wound, such as spit, and to protect the wearer against splashes or sprays of blood. The idea of that would help stop something, but the idea of a virus being stopped in that regard, that's not what they're talking about. This is what all the other doctors that have talked about this have said. They wore them simply to stop them from spit or sweat from falling into an open wound. That's literally what the CDC says. Then it goes on to say, there's limited evidence for their effectiveness in preventing influenza transmission either, and this is what gets important in regard to the kill your grandma or yourself kind of idea, limited evidence for effective stopping transmission either when worn by the infected person for source control or when worn by the uninfected person to reduce exposure. I mean, they covered all their bases here, guys. I mean, I'm actually surprised they didn't delete this already. It says our systematic review, that's what it was, systematic review, found no significant effect of face masks on transmission. That is all you need to see. Now, I'm not, I say that and I don't mean that you shouldn't keep looking, but guys, this is it. This is what the facts are. And this is gathering up the previous studies of all the years before. I mean, not all of them. I showed you plenty they didn't even show you. But even some of the ones that have gone forward, even the one that the CDC commissioned themselves after this, one of the main ones they chose not to show you, but I did. Why? I mean, think about how crazy that, talk about cherry picking. They pay a bunch of people to do studies and then only pick the ones they like. But one of the main ones came back and said, no, they don't. They just didn't show it to you. That's crazy. But hopefully you're beginning to see the illusion in real time here. To finish up on the lockdown, this is a really big point to finish with here. Apparently, the Cambridge Union in Cambridge had a vote, 362 to 309, they vote that, quote, this House believes lockdown was a mistake. I find that to be incredibly telling. This shows you guys that the illusion is not only just what they're doing to us, but that the illusion is that all these people agree with them. I find that to be the case in regard to alternative media, independent media, or anything. We are constantly told and just inundated with this idea that we are the fringe. That nobody thinks what you do, you conspiracy theorist. You're the crazy ones. Everything they do is part of it is continually seeding you with that idea. I don't believe that. I believe, especially today more than ever, I've been saying it for years, but I believe today more than ever that people today see through the lies. Doesn't mean they agree with everything we're talking about, but they're right now questioning all of this. They feel uncomfortable about all of this. 72% of healthcare workers in most places are saying, no, we don't want this dangerous thing. But they scream about how healthcare are heroes and we're all on the same side and you're the only one not doing it. They're lying to you. This is a microcosm of the larger picture. If you have the majority of people in a college or even just in the Cambridge Union that are basically saying that they believe this is a mistake, that's a good indication that most people there disagree with this. The government doesn't care about what we think. But they want you to believe that we agree with them so they can pretend that they have the consent of the governed. They don't care about that anymore. And by the way, as they say, congrats to all the speakers. It was a proper grown-up debate. We need more like this. I completely agree. This was actually, I watched some of it. I couldn't watch all of it today, but it was really, it was exactly what he's saying. It was mature. God forbid in a world where everyone's acting like children. It was a debate where it was allowed proper time. They were arguing, going back and forth, and then they voted. Right? I mean, you do not see this happen anymore today. It says the lockdown debate is tonight and you can watch it. The link will be there for you. But here's the article in general. The validity of the lockdown debated at the Cambridge Union. And it says an online Cambridge Union debate, which questioned the government's strategy for tackling the pandemic. Those supported the motion were conservative. So there were politicians involved as well. Conservative MP Sir Graham Brady, chairman of Reform UK, Richard Tyson, social commentator, journalist and author Toby Young. I just like the idea that we're seeing 362, the majority vote, that this is, they voted to agree with the statement, quote, that this House believes lockdown was a mistake. Do not be swayed to believe that you are the fringe, that you are the minority. The reality is, guys, that we have the truth on our side, and we have people on our side. You are not alone out there. It's just time to see that. Stop buying their lies about who you are and what we are, because they're going to keep doing this. This is really happening in the midst of things like this, where people are pushing back and saying, this is crazy. Studies are coming out showing that lockdowns are catastrophic, that they don't work, that what we're doing is hurting ourselves, and they double down. Travelers to pay more than $2,000 for a mandatory quarantine at a detention center that they're calling hotel quarantine. So you go into this country, whether or not you're sick, even if you've got a test that says you aren't sick, no, there's no exceptions. You're forced into quarantine and then you're charged $2,000. This is a racket. And they're abusing it, claiming they're doing it for you. They're just sucking us dry. Do you realize they're charging you $2,000 at a time when people don't have jobs? They don't care about us. Government order mandates that regardless of a negative COVID test, anyone entering Canada must quarantine for 14 days and submit a 14-day quarantine plan to the government, which is subject to government discretion. This is off the rails, guys. These are authoritarian dictators that are taking control, and this story should scare the crap out of you. I mean, this is one of the most alarming stories because of the way this goes down. I mean, this is real. This is real world personal, right? Where you do something feeling like you're doing what you should and suddenly realize that you have no rights, you have no power. They completely take over. Calgary police take traveling woman into mandatory isolation and refuse to tell her family where she is. This is now, guys. This happened yesterday. This is what we need to fight against. This is everything these governments pretended they were trying to stop. All they were doing was trying to take notes and take control so they can implement the very same things that they told you they were fighting. Because wink, wink, the whole time, they were doing all those things. They created those things to scare you into allowing them to do those things here. You know, take ISIS or Al-Qaeda and foreign wars about things that they created and then used to justify their wars. Trudeau announced Friday morning that all returning travelers into the country must go into a government isolation center where another COVID-19 test will be taken. Now, here's the craziest part. You're being charged $2,000. These people didn't even know it was happening. This was announced, and before people could even be told about it, they were already arresting people. Talk about a racket. They are siphoning money off of people that are already struggling. Does that sound like a government that cares about its people? Trudeau said it will cost each traveler $2,000. We already showed you the one from Germany. They call it a hotel, but it's a prison. There's bars in the windows. It's scary. The new rules weren't even announced on Thursday night. They hadn't even announced it yet, but the officials were already arresting people. Because, you know, there's no accountability. There's no law. You just do what you're told. And if you just get told that you're doing something wrong, well, then you don't have a choice to deny it. They're in control. It says, my wife, Nikki, arrived in Calgary tonight, and when she got there, she was greeted by a police officer and an AHS officer. I'm trying to remember what that stands for again. Tell me in the chat, guys, what does AHS stand for again? I could probably guess, but I don't want to mislead anybody. Quote, they rejected her results and told her she needed to go immediately to an isolation facility. So she had results. So she got the test, which is what people in the world are saying. Get the test and you can travel. Apparently not in Canada, not there. So she got a test. She did what she was told. Alberta Health Services, thank you. She did what she was told and then still got penalized. So, I mean, there's got to be a lawsuit here. They're going to force her to pay $2,000 even though she just got tested and did what she was told. And I'm not arguing she should be tested, guys. I aggressively urge you to not take this vaccine, to not get tested, to stay away from any of this stuff. This stuff scares me right now. And I'm not one to say that. I'm not trying to not fearmonger this is one of those times, guys, where if you're not afraid of what's happening, then you're just not paying attention. But it says the new rules weren't even announced. They rejected her results and told her she needed to go immediately to the facility. She was told if she resisted, she'd be arrested. She called me and the husband immediately asked to talk with the officer. I talked with both the police officer and the health services officer. They reiterated what she had said to me. I asked for the address of where she would be. They said they could not give me the location. It was confidential. Quote, I asked for their names again. They would not give me any information. So now we're at a point where they don't even have to identify themselves. I thought that was a crime, but who cares? Emergency, right? Emergency. We can do whatever we want. I pushed. I questioned. I tried to fight, but they said they would arrest her if she's resisted. But she's already being arrested. I mean, what's that? Would you rather go to a jail or going to a detention center? I mean, they would not give me any information on where they were taking my wife. Imagine if this was your son, your daughter, your grandmother. It applies to everybody. Anybody. Imagine if you come in with your 6-month-old. Imagine if you come in with your 3-year-old, your 10-year-old, your teenager. They're going to separate you. They're going to isolate you. They're going to control you. And they're not going to tell anybody where you are. That's what freedom looks like today. Quote, she was not allowed to get her vehicle from the airport. She was immediately put in a white van surrounded by police escorts and taken to an unknown facility that is full surveilled and has security at every entrance and exit. You can imagine I'm barely keeping myself together, wondering what in the world has happened in our country in what seems to be overnight. I don't know why anybody is allowing this. And I actually believe that the vast majority of us know this is wrong. And they're banking on you not realizing that you're in fact the majority. They are banking on the absolute desperate hope that we don't see that we have more power than they do. And no, I'm not talking about military power. I'm talking about general power in regard to influence and how things go. Right now, we just saw this with GameStop. We just saw this with the real scenario that if we realize that we come together, we are more powerful. They are scared about that. They're trying to scare you so much that you just sit back down. Stand up. Vanessa Bealey points out that someone who was a cop in San Francisco Police Department just told her. And this is one of the only people, by the way, that I will report on what she's saying without doing. I mean, I don't know how I can research and find this out. It was something somebody, a source, told Vanessa Bealey. My point in saying this is that Vanessa Bealey is somebody who I find to be very credible, that I hope you would too. But take it for what it is based on her words. Someone who was a cop, San Francisco Police Department, just told a friend 80% of all of his calls these days involve domestic abuse situations. Now, by the way, the reason I would even read that too is because that is backed up by a lot of statistics, not necessarily 80%, but a huge, ungodly increase. 80% in his area could just be due to some other circumstance that makes it that much worse. But the lockdown, not COVID, is what's causing this. Mostly children are the ones being abused. Welcome to the new normal, U.S. building back beater. It's hard to, I almost can't even laugh, it's disgusting. And on that same point, that is exactly what's happening. The devastating toll of the pandemic on children. As he says, I find this hard to read, and I did too. It's really unnerving. Those who favor lockdown on what I think is a flawed premise, which is a flawed premise, that it saves lives, they have to surely shoulder responsibility for what's happening as a consequence. They won't, though, but they should. I hope you'll take the time to read this. Closing school closes lives. We must see this by now. It's never been more clear. Mental health problems on the rise, babies falling behind of their development, children with disabilities incarcerated. And it's just talking about, the point is, people can't leave if they're not wearing their masks or so on. They can't even leave the house. And on top of that, people that are with disabilities or even children that are wearing masks are growing up with interpersonal communication disabilities, if you can call it that. Like, they cannot read people's faces. They don't understand how to pick up on facial cues. I mean, you are warping these people's brains. So you're gonna have an entire generation, if and when this suddenly goes away, that has no idea, that they're awkward, socially awkward people. I mean, imagine what that will do to our society. That's on top of all the other things we showed you. Pandemic has made abuse invisible, right? Because nothing matters but COVID. These people are being raped and abused and molested and beat up, and nobody cares because all you can care about today is COVID. If you are an honest person in the mainstream media, they've been abandoned, but nobody cares because all you can do is justify COVID to force people to wear masks, even the children that are being beaten and molested, because that's what matters, masks, right? According to some people, the lockdown is overwhelming and it's causing untold amounts of suffering and pain that are actually making the numbers increase. But that's why it's odd that you'll not odd, it's actually quite self-explanatory, while you'll see the deaths continue to increase while the cases go down. And it's the same kind of point you could make in reverse, right? None of this stuff correlates. It's all over the map, and it's because they're just kind of squeeze, just like they would manipulate data to say that Clinton was going to win the election for 99% certainty, they'll gain whatever they want. They'll also manipulate whatever they want to achieve Biden's presidency. They'll do whatever they want. It's not the left versus the right, guys. It's your government using Trump, using Biden, using them all to achieve their goals. And here we are. Here we are, where places like 3Speak are actually now Microsoft, of all people, that's not surprising, blocking 3Speak's mail server. This is happening everywhere. You can't even get information from them if you had a mail server on Microsoft and just another platform being removed because they don't want competition. And to finish, this is one that's just unbelievable. YouTube actually deleted a video of a doctor testifying in a Senate Homeland Committee. And they deleted it as coronavirus misinformation. This is a doctor who has earned the right to speak on it. Way more, hell of a lot more than YouTube's earned the right to talk about this stuff. Who has earned the right to speak on his expertise. And who is speaking on treatments and responsibilities and actions of what's going on. And the faults of what's happening. And the misinformation of what's happening. In a Homeland Committee, a Senate Homeland Committee. This is in the government. This is in a congressional meeting, hearing, and they delete that. This is 1984. This has nothing to do with what is legitimate, what is justified. You're only an expert insofar as you say what they want you to say. The moment that you go off that road, you're no longer an expert. You're in fact now a crazy conspiracy theorist. I don't care if you spent 45 years in the medical field and have PhDs and everything. You're a conspiracy theorist if you stated one thing and they'll claim you read it off some video and you're done forever. Doesn't matter. You could be a pediatrician with 3 years experience, and as long as you say what they want you to say, well, you're an expert. It's crazy. If this happening is unreal to me, I mean, it doesn't surprise me. We know they're doing this, but think about how the impunity that they know they're operating with, that they can actually remove experts testifying in Congress about what they know. I don't know what else to show you guys other than everything I already have. I mean, this is all we need. I would say 10 shows into this damn thing, we were already pointing out the reality. All I hope out there is that people continue to ask these questions and continue to drive the conversation. The moment that they argue science is settled is when we lose. Because science is never settled, and scientists should be the honest enough ones to tell you that. I mean, the idea that any scientist anywhere would argue that science is settled means that they are literally... what's the right word for that? Not bastardizing, but they are doing a disservice to their entire community of scientists. I mean, all of them know. I mean, they know. You can't say that because the very point of science is about continuing to research. It never goes away. It's the tireless pursuit of truth. That's what science is, or at least it used to be until it got taken over by politics. It's all there for you. All the citations, all the information. Just hope you take the time to share it and look at it, guys. I love you all. Thank you for being here. It really does give me hope every day I come to you guys and talk about this stuff. And I'm gonna do my best as we go forward in this year to get back on the track of doing as many shows as I can per week. But just know there's going to be ins and outs going forward with some new things coming up. But it's important to me. I got to stop. You know what? Also, to be quite honest, what happens is when I skip a day, the show's exponentially longer because I try to jam everything in. So I'm going to do my best to make these more digestible for people. And I've said that before, but hey, all I can do is try. Every day we should try and be better. Every day. Be better. Better than the mainstream media. Better than the alternative. Better than other people out there trying to deceive you. Every day we should try to be just... You know, it's funny I even say that. That's something that stuck with me to finish off here. That I hope you all think about every day. Somebody, a friend's brother told me this. And really, and it's such a simple concept, but it really resonated with me. And I feel like it's guided my entire life. Is that no matter what you're doing, you don't always have to be succeeding. You don't always have to be knocking out of the park. But no matter what you're doing, just as long as you're every single day, you're just a little bit better than yesterday. That's it. All you got to do is just tomorrow, just be a little bit better than yesterday and you're succeeding. That's all you need to do. So focus on one thing, wake up tomorrow and be like, I'm going to be better than I was yesterday. I'm going to fight harder. I'm going to do this today. I'm going to make sure people see this. And, you know, we will fail. We will drop the ball. Wake up tomorrow and be like, I'm not going to do that again. I will be better today. Just a little bit. I love you all. Thank you for being here. Question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Struggles we bear. Beg you listen, McLean. See the struggles we bear. Nobody don't care. I'm stuck in my house.
Hey, I'm
all kind of fears.
What the hell are you doing to this woman?
Oh, I love it. Nobody don't care.
This is disgusting. What are you doing? What are these poor women doing?
Nobody don't care. Nobody don't care. I tell you, nobody cares. I turn on my TV, everybody is fighting, they're fighting. Can't you see that they're fighting, they're fighting us? They're afraid of the whole of us, soul of us. Can't you see that they're fighting, they're fighting us? Cause they don't wanna see us living together. They prefer seeing us canceling each other. They wanna see us die, don't wanna see us try. Fear-mongering that is trending. 1984, them defending. Global reset and new life pending. Better wake up and stop from sleeping. Remember the FEMA campus are waiting. Don't know what I take them indoctrination. No re-education.
Everything I've seen in the last 9 days, all the things that just don't make sense, the patients I'm seeing in front of me, the lungs I'm trying to improve, have led me to believe that COVID-19 is not this disease, and that we are operating under a medical paradigm that is untrue.
It's time to unite, get up and fight. Oh, it's time to unite. Yes, it's time to fight. Revolution will be televised. In a time for go with one of die. Now each now waste no time. Chinese now get left behind. Never move to the right to the right. Nobody now.
Where's the grave concern if you're going to be injected with these same proteins? Not a single, to my knowledge, not a single vaccine manufacturer took heed of my warning to remove those unsafe epitopes from the vaccines before they formulated their vaccines, in spite of being emailed.
Hold on a minute, don't take her away. Hey, don't take her away. Don't take her away, you bastard. You absolute bastard.
Nobody don't care.
If you stand for nothing, you fall for everything.
It's the message.